working for me. I can smile again and I don't have to worry, cause it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out, say that.
I don't have to worry, cause
it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me.
It's working for me.
And I can hold my head up.
It's working.
Hey, get your confidence back. Think I don't have to worry.
It's working for me.
Hey, my faith is rising now.
It's working for me.
And although I can't see how,
it's working for me.
I know that he's intentional. Yes, he is.
He's intentional.
He's been doing it for a long time.
He's intentional.
He's been doing it for a long time.
He's intentional.
And I can give him my trust now.
He's intentional.
I can give him my praise now.
He's intentional.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
So God is good, amen. And when we talk about God being good, then we are not putting God on the same level as our red beans and rice, or our peach cobbler, or our ice cream. Or I live in a good house. I drive a good car. I got a good job. But when you say God is good, you ain't talking about the same thing. Don't put God on the same level as all this material stuff you got. Because there's a depth to God's goodness that transcends what we can even comprehend. So when you say God is good, then you ought to be thinking every time. You ought to be thinking about some quality of God or some experience that you've had with God that's reminding you that God is good. In other words, you say, what about Brother Eugene? And I say, that's a good friend of mine. That means that I have recalled to memory my experiences with him. And I've summed it up and say he's good. That means he's not bad, he's not evil. My experience with him have been pleasant, joyful, beneficial. Right? So when you think about God, sometimes people say, the Lord is good, don't think nothing about him. Just say it. And don't mean nothing. So I'm renewing my mind that when I say God is good, I'm calling to my memory right then some experience that I've had with God. Or some way that God has blessed me, made himself known to me, something God has done on my behalf, and therefore when I say God is good, there's a depth of meaning and experience behind it. I ain't just saying it off the cuff. Go ahead and say it right now, but be thinking. Don't just say it and don't think about him. Now think about something he's done for you. Remember his goodness right now. Hallelujah. I mean, you remember his goodness. Something will come to your mind. When you say God is good, I'm going to tell you something about him gonna come to your memory of how God has blessed you, delivered you, healed you, provided for you, protected you. He's done something in your life, hallelujah, that lets you know that he's good. The Bible says he's good to all. I mean, every person on the face of this earth, if they will look hard at their life, if they'll look just a little bit, they'll see that God been good, even if they don't believe in him. Because God is good to people that don't even like him. God is good to people that don't even love him. God is good to people that have set themselves up as his enemies. Because he give breath to all men. He's good. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, he's good. Amen. We thank God for his goodness. because his goodness is all around. In fact, the Bible says that the whole earth is full of the goodness of God. And the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. See, God had to work in you before you got saved. And he had to reveal himself to you before you would accept Christ. And you had to know that God had a better plan for you than you had for yourself.
Amen.
I say it this way. God's goodness is so powerful that it will make a man change his mind about serving God. It's the goodness that leads you to repent, that calls you to change your mind. When God begins to power down and to show forth his goodness in your life, it'll make a man bow down and say, I've got to serve that God. I remember that time I prayed for Mama Ethel when she had a bad knee. She's walking with a cane. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I laid hands on that knee sitting right beside her, and I just asked God, because I said, I believe God love you. I don't believe God wants you walking around with this cane. I just believed in the goodness of God. God wants you well. She said, well, they say I got arthritis in that knee. I said, well, I believe Jesus can heal it. So I said, can I read some healing scriptures to you? So we took some healing scriptures. I read them to her. And I got to that part in Mark chapter 16 where it says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mom melted like jumped out of the chair. She said, that's in the Bible. I said, yes, ma'am. Where is that in the Bible? I ain't never heard that. So I put the Bible right in the face. I said, look, read. Read it for yourself. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, Mom melted, do you believe that? She says, in the Bible, ain't it? If it's in the Bible, I believe it.
Yes, sir.
So I say, well, when I pray for you, what's going on? She said, did you see what the Bible say? I laid hands, I prayed a short prayer. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, heal my grandmama's knee. Take all the pain out of it and the swelling. And I waited for a minute, because you got to listen to God when you're praying. Don't just pray out of your own head. Pray from your heart what God's telling you. And then I say, in Jesus' name, my curse is authorized, commanded to go. That's all I said. And she looked at me and smiled real big. And then there was a cane sitting on the coffee table right in front of us. Mommy had to grab that cane. And I'm thinking to myself, she getting ready to test that knee out. She got faith. And she threw that cane across the room, hit the wall on the other side. She said, I don't need that no more. And Mama Elta started walking with no pain. And I went ballistic. Man, I started dancing. I was flipping around. I ran past her up there to where the fireplace was at. And I was up there dancing. I was praising God. And Mama Elta come through the other room. She had her hands raised up like this. She said, Greg, who wouldn't serve a God like this? What was she experiencing? The goodness of God. What did it do? It endeared her heart to him. Just pulled her right in. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness. Amen. Praise God. Now, because God is good, he has a tremendous plan for your life. Tremendous plan. No matter what you've been through in life, God's plan is good. God does not design bad plans for people. He designs good plans. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Bible says this, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. It's been already prearranged. When you get in the will of God by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, you enter into the master's plan for your life. See, there's a human plan. The Bible talks about the will of man. That's what other people want you to do. Then the Bible talks about the will of your enemies. That's the will that the devil has, and people that don't like it, they got a plan for your life. And then there's the will of the flesh. That's what you want. That's your plan, what you desire, what you want to do. And then there's the will of God. I call God's plan the master plan. When you're doing what you want to do, you're just in the flesh plan. When you're doing what other people are doing, you're just in the plan of man. And when you go contrary to God all the way, then you're in the devil's plan. And it's got built-in evil. Just like God's plan has built-in good for you, the devil's plan got built-in evil. Built-in destruction in the devil's plan. Built-in death. See, God built life into his plan. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that what? More abundantly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God has planned good for you. He's planned for your salvation. He's planned for your health. He's planned for your prosperity, for your blessing, for your joy, for your peace, for your victory. Right in the midst of what you're going through. He planned it for you. Amen. Now, in life, there are two kinds of adversity. Two kinds. There are two kinds of adversity. There's adversity or trouble that comes because we've rejected or disobeyed God's will, and we're following some other plan. This kind of adversity results in sorrow, heartache, pain, destruction, ultimately death. But there's also adversity that comes because you're in the will of God. See, there's two kinds. There's an adversity that comes, trouble, hardship, that comes because you ain't in the will of God. And then there's adversity and hardship that come because you are in the will of God. But that kind of adversity will build joy, peace, righteousness, and love. It'll build character in you. Because Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but what? Be of what? What did he say, be of what? Don't he know about what tribulation do to a person? I ain't never had nobody come to the altar and say, Pastor, I'm believing for some more tribulation. Can you ask God to give me some more tribulation? I just need a little more trouble in my life to make it. I just need a more hard places. I want my character to develop. I want to really put my faith on the line and believe God, trust him. I'm asking for more trouble. God, send the trouble, Lord. I got to have some more pain. Some more sorrow, some heart. Give me some tough places. I ain't never had nobody pray that kind of prayer. You may have, but I ain't. I ain't never prayed for that kind of prayer. I've been saved over 30 years. I ain't never asked God, Lord, give me some more tribulation. But you know, Paul said we glory in tribulation. He get happy with it. I say, now either Paul done lost his mind or this man got a revelation. I believe you got a revelation. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope making not ashamed. Because the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost who's been given to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, most of us disobey that scripture right there off the bat. Because what's the first instruction? Think it not strange. What happened when trouble come? We think it's strange. I'm doing all I know how. I'm tired. I'm going to church. I'm loving my enemies. Lord, why is this happening to me? First thing we do is think it's strange. I did just what God told me. Now, if you're in that place where you're doing just what God told you to do, and you still have tribulation, you know that Jesus done approved it. He done approved that tribulation, and that tribulation gonna work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's gonna do something for you. It's going to put you over. It's going to take you to another level. It's going to raise you up. It's going to put something in you that's going to make you stronger. Amen. You're going to come out of that with pure joy. You'll come out of that speaking about, man, let me tell you what God did. You'll have a testimony. You know what? There are no great testimonies without great trials. If you got a powerful testimony, that's because you went through some powerful tribulation.